Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 20, where Jesus told the parable of the workers in the vineyard, where he said that the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with his laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And after he goes and finds many more and sends them out, and they complain of their wages, he says, I choose to give the last worker as I gave to you, and sums it up. As so the last will be first, and the first last. And today we consider what Jesus says about working in the world and in the kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, perhaps you remember working for a grade in school. And that maybe there was a lot of anticipation when the paper or the test came back and you wanted to know how you did. And the teacher would come by and put the assignment on your desk, probably face down. That's how it happened where I was. Put the assignment on your desk. And I tended to lift up corner and see how I did first. I didn't want to just rip the Band-Aid off. I wanted to take a look, get a peek first. But I did want to know what grade I got. What grade I'd earned. And sometimes, when I peeked, or if I had to turn it over finally to figure it out, it was in the corner and clear. A, 98 out of 100. Sometimes, a little less clear, with just a number or a percentage. You know, a 90 or an 80 or a 70. That looked less good. And maybe we'd go over the test and the teacher would teach the lesson. But I still didn't really know how I'd done. And I waited for the end of the class when I could go and ask my friends and say, what did you get? And only then could I figure out if, say, I got a 70, was that a good score? Or was that a lot worse than everybody else's? Was that near the top or was that near the bottom? It was almost like the other students were the ones giving me a grade, not the teacher. And they probably felt like I was the one giving them a grade, not the teacher. But to know how I did, I didn't just need to know how I did. I needed to know how I did in comparison with everybody else out there. And that's the way of the world. Because after all, since that time of tests and papers, there have been personnel evaluations, there have been raises, there have been, you know, our college teams get ranked, our baseball teams have standings, candidates have polls and elections, and then maybe even election recounts. All these aimed not just at how I'm doing or how my team is doing or how the candidate's doing, but in particular, how are we all doing? Me, the team, the candidate, in comparison to everyone else, to all the other people, all the other teams, all the other candidates. That's the way of the world. And unfortunately, it also often seems to be the way of the people in the church. As we read through Scripture, one of the most popular topics for debate among the disciples seems to be, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And we're not unlike those disciples. In fact, we still find ourselves comparing ourselves to those saints in Scripture. For example, we say, if only Eve hadn't eaten that fruit, with an implication that, well, maybe we wouldn't have. Or maybe we see Peter walking on the water, And we also see Peter sinking beneath the waves and being told, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" We see Thomas, who says he needs to stick his hand in the side or he will never believe. And Jesus saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We're so easy to see the faults of the saints and so often unable to see the one who forgave Eve, who made Peter stand, who removed Thomas's doubt, who lifts them up. And so this parable, it does speak to us. It is perhaps one of the easiest parables to understand, and yet it is also one of the hardest to take to heart. And so we again look to say, what should we see? What do we see in the parable of the vineyard? And just as we so often would rather start with the saints and compare ourselves to them and ignore the God who lifts them up, let's not do that today. Instead, let's look at the master first. And yes, this master, the master of the house, the owner of the vineyard, well, he does show us God our Father. And yes, he shows us Jesus our Lord. And what is this master doing? Well, he hires laborers. He hires workers for his vineyard. And just as that master hires laborers, God does call people to work in his vineyard, in his kingdom. And I don't just mean pastors. I mean everybody who's part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is a place where we work. That's probably not the first and it's probably not the only way we ought to look at the kingdom of God. He also tells us to look at it many other ways. But Jesus does clearly say, especially here, that it is a place where we're called to work. So one thing, as we look at the master and what he's doing, is that he calls people to work, and we can also take from this parable that we also should listen to God's call. We can work in his kingdom. We are called to work. We just had a nominating committee for formal positions in the congregation, but that's not all the work. That's certainly not even most of the work in God's kingdom. There are lots of places to serve God by serving our neighbor. And it isn't just as formal positions in the congregation, but throughout our lives. But do consider the formal positions. But even if you're not called to one of those, know that God is still calling you to work in his kingdom. And what does that look like? Well, that's the second thing we'll get to. A second thing we can find is that the nature of the work that we're called to do. What does the master, what does the one who stands in for God do? He calls continually. He goes in the morning, the third hour, the ninth, the 11th hour, and seeks people for the vineyard, hour after hour after hour. That's the work of our God and King, calling people into his kingdom. That is also the work of his people. We are the people of his kingdom. We also support our King. Our work is to invite people in. And we need to consider that in our lives and in our church with all that we do. How are we doing the work of inviting people into the kingdom? See, there are lots of things that we do because we enjoy doing it, but we don't actually see how it helps the kingdom. And we don't need to understand everything we do. But everything we do does relate to how we've been inviting people in. And we do need to be careful that we don't go around inventing new good works to do that really have nothing to do with our witness or the work of our God or helping our neighbor. For example, as one of these, at one time, when I was up here in the altar, well, not necessarily here, at other places I've surfed. I used to make sure that I only turned to the right side of the church and back through most of the service until near the end where finally I would turn to the left side. Might be the other way for you. I had to figure out my left and rights yet. Might be the other way for you. But why? Well, then I could say, see, the service is complete when the circle's full. Well, that's a great thing, but none of you knew about that. And it really didn't testify to Jesus. It was, in fact, probably a distraction if you're paying attention to that instead of what's the message. It detracts from the word. And I could call it a good work, something that's okay to do. But it doesn't really testify to Christ. It doesn't help the kingdom. And we do lots of things like that. Where we say this thing that no one actually knows gets done, we can do it. Because we say somehow it glorifies God, but in the end it just distracts us from what God has done. May God protect us from that. A third thing we could take, looking at the owner of the vineyard, who represents our God, is that our God is generous. The master of the vineyard, master of the house, the owner of the vineyard, gave a fair wage to all and a generous wage to the later workers hired. Even in just the parable. And we'll get into that wage in a bit, but I'll talk about that under workers. What I want us to know now, though, is that here, we're going to go a little bit beyond the parable and note that our God is far more generous even than the owner of the parable, because he doesn't just give a denarius. He gives eternal life and salvation and his very presence to all he calls to be in his kingdom. God calls people in. Not because he needs someone to go work in his kingdom, because he needs their work, but instead, he calls us in to his church, to his kingdom, to bless us. Everyone he calls in to bless. And where does God bless us with? With life and salvation freely given for Jesus' sake. And more than that, he also blesses us with work that grows the kingdom, with useful work. Because the truth is, we need to work far more than God needs our work. Praise and thank God for his salvation, that even your work that really doesn't merit anything of itself, it also is blessed in him. God is truly generous, and his blessings are given because he is generous in Christ, not due to our work, and especially not due to our working harder than other people. And here I'm going to have to depart the parable completely for a moment and say that it might be useful to use some of the other ways that this is described by Paul and by Jesus, that instead we can think about being a son, a child, an heir, just as other places in Scripture talk about. And really, when a will is read, when an inheritance is given, it's usually not in relation to the amount of work done. It's done because of the relationship of the person who receives the inheritance to the one who gives. And we receive the gifts and blessings of God because we have become not just workers, but also sons and daughters and heirs. And God does call us to work in his family business, in his kingdom, but he does that because we are family and fellow heirs, not because he needs the workers. So recognize that all that you're given is because God is generous, and it is a gift. Praise him especially for life and salvation. Praise him also for the work that he gives you to do. Now let's consider the laborers. We won't spend as long on them. Our focus should always be on our master. But what do we learn from them? Don't judge your fellow servants. We might work for their good, and we do. We've been called to do that. But don't go around judging them and judging their work. You are not their master. I am not their master. And don't even judge yourself in comparison to them. Remember that God is generous in giving you what you need. It is human nature to compare. It is what we've been taught in the world. And so when you find yourself comparing and saying that I'm doing all the work around here, if you find the need to compare, well, instead compare yourself to Christ, the one who lived a perfect life, the one who died for you. If you need to compare with someone, do it with him. Try to do better than that. And when you can't, let it remind you to praise your God, to give him thanks, that in Christ, in the one who worked in the kingdom far harder than you, who gave his very life for you, he gives you all thanks. Praise God, he gives you life for Christ's sake. And this is hard. The world does teach us to compare. We learned it from a young age, from school, and we've kept doing it all our lives, that you get what you work for. And it's hard because we can say, well, we're not talking about salvation, and we try to excuse our comparisons, but when we start expecting it everywhere, it becomes central to who we are. And if who we are those who judge, we take the place of God and we sin greatly. We need to remember that God's kingdom extends far beyond salvation. God has redeemed the world. And that we may still be in the world, but we're not of it. So whatever we do, preach the economy of God, the one who is generous, who makes things new. Preach a generous God, not a work harder. And finally, as we look at the workers, we'll look at what wages do they get. And we already talked about God is generous and gives salvation, but I will also note that in the parable, it says they received the day's wage, a denarius. And what can we see from that? Why would God talk about, when he is so generous, why would he show such a small wage? And perhaps it's because he's not trying to show us that God's not generous. He says very explicitly in the parable, God is generous and gives more than what is required. But I will say this. God says, if they get more than a day's wage, if the work for a day is more than a day's wage, we start to trust into what we can accumulate. We start to find a way to build barns and say, what will we do? And our trust is removed from the one who gives all the good things to the good things. So often we treat it that way, like we'd say, well, I was saved once, and God has still done that work. Why bother even coming to hear it again? Why bother sharing it? God's the one who does the work. Because we've said that we've reduced it from a relationship to God, that he called us to be in his kingdom, to he's given us the benefits. And we think, well, I'll go put the work somewhere else, out in the world. Our trust begins to be in our barns. Nothing is really worse than trusting in your barns and leaving the kingdom and even the work that God calls you to there to rest in the good things that you've piled up. Be it the good things of the world or even the good gifts that God gives through Christ. Because once we leave the kingdom, the good things are gone. The best of them. See, the greatest gift that God gives is not so much the wage, but that we are in the kingdom. Sharing its benefits and sharing the work that their God has let us be joined to him and shares his work with us and shares the benefits of his work, our presence with him forever. Our God is generous. Receive the blessings of a worker, and even more, receive the blessings of a son, and share those blessings that you've been given by your generous Father, the Master, the owner, your God. He has given you all that you need. Salvation and life, and yes, even work in the kingdom. So celebrate and thank and praise your God as you work in the kingdom. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen.